I did not want to be a Christian. There, I said it. I admitted it. I did not want to be a Christian. I doubt I'm the only one who resisted limitations on my omnipotence, on my liberty, on my freedom. I know I'm not the only one, right? So, I was the captain of my own ship. How did that go? Not so well. Not so well. Fortunately, God gave me a second chance. Hitting the rocks of life, about to sink, I realized that if I were the captain of this ship, all I did was hit the rocks. All I did was be in real danger of sinking. Now, I've talked many times about all the different ways we find to sink. It can be drugs, it can be alcohol, it can be sexual relationships, it can be ambition, it can be lots of different things. Greed, money, those are big ones. We find lots of different ways to scuttle the ship of our lives because we want to be in charge. And we have to be in charge to some degree. But I think our challenge as human beings, whether we're male or female, Greek, Arab, Russian, living in the 21st century, living in the second century, I think the challenge is trust and humility before God. Trust and humility. We have to admit that we are not the end-all, be-all of the universe. And that's hard to do sometimes, especially when it keeps us from doing something we want to do that feels good and we like it and takes our mind off all this other boring stuff or all these things we don't like. I often read the newspaper and read about these young sports athletes. And I know some of you don't like it when I talk about sports, but these young men or women, they've got these incredibly talented physical bodies. And maybe they can shoot a basketball or play golf, or the Olympics were just over. Maybe they can do something there. They have all this talent in the world. Their life is before them. They're 18, maybe they're 28. You know, some of the Olympic stuff takes a long time to prepare for. They've got all this stuff going. I mean, man, they've got it. The juice is flowing. They're in it. And I'm going to come to them and tell them, oh, you really shouldn't go to those bars at night. I know you're attractive, and I know a lot of people swarm to you, men and women wanting favors of various kinds. I'm going to tell you to do that. You're going to say, get off of me, man. I'm having a blast right now. This is fun. I'll deal with that other stuff when I'm your age. Okay. You know, you can try that. You can live that for a while. But it doesn't work. Life has a way of catching up with us and pointing out to us our limitations. Sooner or later, we all realize we're not the smartest person in the room. We're not the best looking. We don't have the most money, etc., etc., etc. And we can run and hide from that, but there's no really escaping it. We have to recognize our own limitations. We have to go before God in trust and humility that He has a plan and that He knows. Now, that's one thing when we talk about, oh, okay, so you shouldn't booze and you shouldn't chase women. Okay, fine, that's easy to say, right? What about when we take it the other way and God takes somebody from us? Been there too. Been there too. Lost my mom when I was in college. And boy, let me tell you, I was mad. I was mad at God. I've never been so mad at somebody. She was 43 years driving to work. She worked with handicapped children. I was so mad. I was a young man full of vigor. I knew nothing but anger. Nothing. I remember going out into the woods, picking up a branch, and there was this tree there. And I want to tell you, I beat the you-know-what out of that tree with that branch. I was cursing God the whole time. I was so angry at what? The absence of love. Someone had been taken from me. There was a hole in my heart, and I didn't know what to do except express it in anger to God. I remember looking up, and there was Dad in the woods watching me. I was angry at him for spoiling my moment because suddenly I felt self-conscious. But, you know. But I think God hears us. I don't think he minds when we get mad at him. You know why? Because we're taking him seriously. I never denied that he was there. I just didn't want to have to obey him. I mean, that was it in a nutshell. Now, Jesus Christ was a different thing. I wasn't sure about him, and that's a whole other conversation. But I knew there was a God. There has to be. There's no way all of this beauty and things that we have in the world. There's, you know what the greatest treasure in this world right here? In this world. I'm looking at a treasure that no sunset, no waterfall, no gold or silver can compare with. I'm looking at individual human beings made in the image and likeness of God. Each created to be a universe of blessing for each other. That's the greatest treasure in this world. But we have to remember trust and humility in God's plan. Why does he let these things happen? He gives us free will, and some of us misuse it. Frankly, all of us misuse it. And that creates pain and heartache for ourselves and for other people. There you go. It's that simple. It's not easy. I didn't say it was easy, but it's simple. It's pretty simple. So we do it to ourselves. What's our answer? Well, we have to come to God. What do we want? We want reconciliation with God. We want healing, whether it's physical or spiritual. Usually it's physical, and that's understandable. God didn't create us to die, but that he let death come is actually a blessing. Otherwise, we would be caught in this cycle of a constantly and continually declining body, and the eternal soul that God gave us by grace would be trapped in this vehicle that was always broken down. So in his mercy and grace, death is a blessing. It wasn't intended from the beginning, but it is a blessing. Our soul continues. We're going to celebrate memorials in just a moment in exactly that vein. That the souls of our loved ones are still very much alive, and we wait for the day when Christ returns and we get new vehicles. We get new bodies. We put on new bodies like Christ had that will never grow old and never grow weak. Mine is going to have a lot of hair like Brad Pitt. You're still going to know me because you'll get the voice and the gleam in my eye, but you know the hair. I watched Troy recently. You know, I don't know if you've seen this movie. I'm not sure it's such a great movie, but boy, I love that guy's hair. But anyway, we're going to get new bodies. New bodies. And it'll all be good. It will be good. If we look at the parable today, there's this paralytic, right? Paralyzed. Boom. Can't walk. Nothing. Christ is in the town. He's speaking at someone's house. And there's a large crowd there, right? And his buddies, his friends, pick up his pallet, whatever, his chair. I don't know. I don't think it tells us. And they're trying to get him to Christ. Well, they can't because of the crowd, right? People don't hear. They're not going to move. They're walls. So what do? They don't let the impediments of life get in the way. They disassemble part of the roof. Now, their houses weren't made like ours. You could actually do this. Disassemble the roof and they drop the guy down. They really overcame some impediments. They had impediments of the crowd, of the walls, of the roof. We have impediments. And the fathers of the church have set up Holy Lent to help remind us of those impediments. Now, they're not generally crowds and walls and roofs, especially for those of us who have been Christians for a little while. You know, sometimes I think it's easy to sit back and think, you know, I got this, I'm good. You know, I go to church, I do this, I do that. I'm okay, you know, I'm okay. No, as one of our younger members of the congregation used to say, no. Lent is the time to overcome spiritual inertia. There's always something we can improve upon. I don't want to speak of it just ethically, like patience or hope or love, but there's always, always something we can improve upon. Look in the mirror when you wake up tomorrow morning and ask yourself, is the image looking back at me perfect? Because we are called to be perfect as Christ in heaven is perfect. We are called to be partakers of the divine nature, and that means perfection. So unless you're there in grace and hope and love and patience, etc., then you're not perfect. And I certainly know I'm not. If you don't believe me, just ask Padasatana, right? I'm not. We've got a way to go. So we have to overcome pride. How do we do that? Humility and trust, denying ourselves some food here and there. If we do that, Christ will come to us and He will heal us. Now, He healed the paralytic so the guy could walk. Did the fellow want eternal salvation? Did he even conceive of that? When you read the text, you read the Holy Fathers, there's no indication that the man knew of that sort of thing. We have to think outside the box. If we ask God to help us, and by the way, there's no situation we can put ourselves in that He can't repair. He might not be able to do it like that, but He can repair it. If we give Him time, He will help us. But it takes time. Think of a beautiful flowering bush that grows. You don't plant it and tomorrow you've got a bloom. It takes a season. It takes a season. God can help us. We can have made a terrible mess of our lives. The first step towards the repair of that is humility and trust on our part that God will handle it. And then before we know it, if we give it time, a week, a month, a year, 5 years will have gone by. Now, the stupid thing that we did, okay, yeah, it's always there in the rearview mirror, right? Can't make that go away. Sorry, can't do it. Actions have consequences. It's just there. But that doesn't mean we have to bring it up all the time. It doesn't mean we have to throw it up in each other's face. That's where forgiveness for someone else comes into place. Because if we're honest, nobody's done anything to us that we haven't already done to somebody else. Maybe not in the same degree, but in essence, all of us have been greedy. All of us have been lustful. All of us have done these things. So, forgiveness. If we ask God for spiritual healing, He will give us more than we know for. He will give us eternal life if we continue with that love and grace for others. So think about trust and humility. When something angers you or causes you fear, trust God and with humility, Lord, Your ways are higher than my ways. May my will conform to Yours. Talk to your friends. Talk to your parents. Come talk to a priest. Talk to somebody. You will find validation for the right way to go. You will if you approach it with trust and humility. So think about that as we're in the season of Lent, as we go forward. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I was looking for Christina Bonderer. I know she's here. I saw her. There she is. I'd like to invite her forward. She is the chairperson of the 20th Anniversary Committee, and she'd like to speak to you about some of the events that we have planned.